Welcome to the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. Each week, my guests and I share stories, challenges, and vulnerabilities, all with the aim of helping us to live in a more soulful, authentic, and integrated way. So thank you for tuning in. Let's jump into this week's episode. This week's podcast episode is a business-focused one. I know that a good number of my regular listeners are business professionals, so I make sure that I include at least one business or leadership-themed episode in each series of my podcast. Front and centre this week is a topic close to my heart, and that's presentation skills. I've delivered workshops on presentation skills for almost 20 years now, and I have to say I still find them so rewarding. I love it when someone who was nervous about speaking in public gives it a go and realises that it's actually something that they're well capable of doing. I often say that apart from some techniques or best practices, presentation skills is really not about presentations at all. It's about self-belief, giving something a go, showing courage, and moving beyond the limitations we habitually place on ourselves. If we're tasked with delivering a presentation, it magnifies whatever's going on the inside, and it always presents a learning opportunity. The prompt for this week's episode was an unusual one. Whilst I haven't devoted an episode to presentation skills in quite a while, I was reviewing the series of YouTube videos I recorded some years ago, back when creating video content was cutting edge. Around 2015 and 16, I developed and produced over 20 videos on various topics from leadership to time management, motivation and presentation skills. And you can still see them if you stick my name into YouTube. Most of them clocked up a few hundred views. The ones I did on different aspects of interviewing skills were watched by a few thousand. But the one I did on how to present to senior managers notched up over 25,000 views and counting. 10 times as many as the next most popular video. Now, it's not what could be described as going viral, but it was by far my most watched short video. Now, I'm no expert on what gets views, but I reckon it was the niche angle and that it matched directly with what people were typing into YouTube or Google when they had a presentation to senior managers pending. There are probably thousands of videos and tips out there on presentation skills, but by focusing on delivering to senior managers, I obviously hit a topic that's relevant to many people. So I thought, well, let that be the angle for this week's episode, as I suspect it's equally relevant for many of you tuning in. My video on this topic was short. It was only two and a half minutes long. And as I say, you can still watch it by going onto YouTube. But I'm going into more detail today because I've updated my tips when it comes to presenting to senior managers. And I did record that video a few years ago. Whilst the fundamentals are as true as ever, the world has changed a lot in the last few years. And when it comes to presentations, so many are now delivered online, and that brings more variables into play. If you're not in a situation where you present or could present to senior managers, remember presentation skills is a subset of communication skills with some influencing skills thrown in for good measure. And they're topics that are universally relevant. If you are interested in climbing a career ladder, presentation skills is always something that will stand to you. I'll close out this week's episode with some tips on managing nerves when presenting, something most of us can relate to. And these tips translate into other situations as well. Any scenario where we'd like to feel more in control and not overwhelmed by nervousness or imposter syndrome. Of course, all of these tips and insights that I'm sharing this week, I practice myself. I speak to audiences and deliver presentations all the time, so the points I share come from my lived experience. I've learned the hard way what doesn't work, and of course I've picked up many tools and strategies for not just managing those presentation nerves, but also techniques for making presentations impactful. We've all witnessed the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to presentations, and a lot of best practice is about avoiding what makes bad presentations bad. But let's dive in, and I'm going to share with you five of my well-practiced tips for delivering impactful presentations with particular emphasis on delivering to senior managers. Rule number one when it comes to delivering a presentation to a senior management team is to remember that they're busy people and that they tend to have short attention spans. Senior managers care about high-level findings, conclusions, recommendations, and calls to action. They don't have the time or the energy to waste on trying to determine the salient points you're attempting to communicate. Whilst your instinct may be to include as much information as you can, when presenting to senior managers, you have to pare it back. You have to come back to the essentials. A simple distinction is being clear as to what you must cover and what's nice to cover. Or what are the three things you want them to take away from your presentation? Remember, a presentation is a vehicle for communicating relevant information. It's a means to an end. So what do you want that end to be? Presentations to senior groups tend to be relatively short. It might just be a few minutes. So it's about maximising the time. This doesn't mean taking a deep breath and speaking rapidly and squeezing in as much content as possible. That only results in overwhelm and confusion. Remember, you're more familiar with your material than the audience. They're receiving it for the first time, so it needs to be paced so that they can digest it. An analogy that I think works well is to think of your presentation like the tip of a pyramid. It's built on a strong foundation of detail and data, but a senior audience is only interested in the top of the pyramid, what has come out of your research or expert work. They want the simplicity on the far side of complexity. And as Einstein said, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough. Drilling a little deeper, tip number two is to open strongly by focusing on what you're going to do and what you want from them. There is a concept known as the hammock effect. A hammock sags in the middle, and the same is true for people's attention spans. It's highest at the beginning of a presentation, then it sags and picks up again as the finish approaches. This means maximising the audience's attention when it's at its highest, and that's at the start. Whilst no audience will forgive you if you're a boring presenter, senior managers will never give you the chance. If they sense you're beginning to ramble or skirt issues, they'll interrupt you, either by way of a refocusing question, which is the polite way, or maybe by something more abrupt. Your window of opportunity for making a good impression and getting their attention is short. Senior managers need the pertinent information straight away. No gentle introduction and minimum context setting. It makes sense to be clear up front as to what you're taking them through and what you need from them. An example of an impactful way of opening a presentation to senior managers, and one that I've used myself, gets straight to the point. You know, it might be something like, well, over the next X number of minutes, I'm going to take you through, you know, I'll outline the findings of, you know, or I'll detail the recommendations of, and after dealing with any questions or queries you might have, hopefully we'll get the go-ahead to implement. Now, that's different phrases that you can cobble together in a way that would make most sense for you. But for me, it's a bit like the newspaper headline. You know, you're getting people's attention by being very clear up front as to what's ahead. Stating the duration of your presentation at the outset lets the audience know that they only have to focus for that amount of time, and maybe it also shows that you have prepared well. Other ways of starting strongly include posing a question that maybe you'll then go on to answer. I remember several years ago working with a manager, I think he was a planner or an architect from memory, but was speaking at a conference and had hired me to assist him with the impactfulness of his presentation. And I listened to what he had prepared, and let's say it was a little dry. But in the middle of the presentation, he had a rhetorical question, which went something like, is Dublin the sort of city people want to live in? And immediately I was engaged. And when we did some work and we reordered things, I suggested maybe opening his presentation with that question. And then, of course, he went on to give his opinion on it and to answer it. And it worked effectively because questions are always ways, is always an effective way to engage an audience. Your opening question could be just something like, well, did you know? And then you follow it up with by sharing an interesting, insightful or surprising fact. As I say, questions engage the mind, even rhetorical ones. Most presenters, when they're preparing, focus on the statements they want to make, the facts they want to share. But including some questions for the audience to ponder spikes their attention. It gets them to sit up in their hammocks, as it were. Most presenters who practice their delivery know that they will get into the flow of it, maybe a few minutes in, but getting into that flow can be the tricky part. That's another reason why knowing exactly what the first few sentences will come from your mouth is so beneficial. If you open strongly, it makes sense to consider your close and closing strongly too. I often call this bookending your presentation. Closing strongly can be repeating the call to action or what you want from the audience. It would usually include repetition of key points you want to emphasize. If you opened with a question, it might be your answer to it. And it is always nice to welcome questions, and I use that word purposefully, that word welcome purposefully. Rather than just asking any questions or having a question mark on your closing slide, you know, say something like, I'd welcome any questions or comments you may have. The odds are, though, with a senior group, they will ask you questions as you go, but I'll speak more about that in a moment. Whatever way you close, it's important to ensure that the audience knows you've finished. Too many presentations just peter out with a shrug of the shoulders or a there you go and you scuttle back to your seat. You want to be proud of what you've delivered, and the presentation is not over after you've gone through your slides. It's also about being available to participate in a discussion around what it is that you've shared. Tip number three is about two fundamental aspects of presentations, the use of visuals and dealing with questions. We'll look at questions first, as I mentioned it just a moment ago. Other than, say, a formal conference presentation, it's usually preferable to deal with questions as they come up. And with senior executives, they'll probably interrupt you anyway. There are no rights or wrongs when it comes to questions, but part of preparation is contemplating how you would like to handle them. Hoping there will be no questions is usually a bit naive, especially when it comes to senior managers. And no questions doesn't mean it's been an effective presentation. It often means that the audience were bored and they've switched off. There is the possibility that you can get a question that you cannot answer. You know, if the question is genuine, the person is seeking an accurate answer rather than an immediate answer. It's absolutely acceptable to say that you'll find out and revert to them. And if possible, be seen to note their question, as this gives them more certainty that you'll get back to them. Questions is how a presentation comes to life. It's about how we test for understanding. It's evidence of engagement. And as I always say, the best presentations are led conversations, and conversations are questions and answers. Without getting too philosophical, the best presentations are often the answer to an insightful question. That's a deep one to ponder. When it comes to visuals, and nowadays that's still most commonly a slide deck, usually in PowerPoint, the clue is in the term. Slides are a visual aid, so they should aid what it is you're saying, not distract from it. My rule of thumb here is less across more. Less content on a slide, but use more slides. And that's certainly the case when the presentation is online. If you're trying to squeeze content in, your slides will be cluttered, and cluttered slides only lead to confusion. Unfortunately, many organizations ask people to present on a template that is sometimes created in Excel. So you're trying to present a document that is really meant to be scanned or read, not presented. But of course, you have to go with what is the established norm in your organization. But maybe you can find a little wiggle room within that. Remember, the audience will be looking at your slides more than they will look at you. And for the nervous presenter, that can be comforting. As I say, they're looking at the plate, not the chef. And keeping the food analogy going, your visuals are the main dish, not the garnish. Where possible, use graphics and diagrams. Microsoft Word is the text tool. PowerPoint is the graphical and visual tool. A picture paints 1,000 words. And a quick aside here about professional speakers, those who deliver motivational talks at conferences. Some of the best, you've probably noticed, don't use slides, but through their language, they create visuals and images in the audience's minds. But in organizations, presentations are a combination of your words and visuals. A common sense point, but one that too many presenters forget, is that their audience can read. As I jokingly say, if you're just going to read your slides, why not email them to the audience beforehand? They can read them themselves and no one needs to show up. And wouldn't that be much more efficient all round? Of course, as the presenter, and especially when presenting to a senior group, how you're adding value above and beyond your slide content is the question to reflect upon. Focusing on how you will add value in your delivery reminds you of your expertise, experience, knowledge, the detailed work you've done, and it encourages you to share your opinion or recommendations, which is what the audience want to hear from you after all. Tip number four for presenting to a senior group is to put yourself in your audience's chairs. What do they want or need from me is a very practical question to ponder at the start of your preparation. What would a successful presentation look like from their perspective? Well, with a senior group, or any audience for that matter, they seek succinct, relevant, accurate and timely information. You may have technical expertise that they don't. You might have more detail available to you, more information than they do. That's probably why you're in the room or on the Zoom in the first place. So they're looking for your interpretation of the information, your opinion, your recommendation, your point of view. I mentioned earlier the analogy of the pyramid. You can get away with showing the top of the pyramid when the base is solid. A senior audience may require you to go deeper. They could ask you to drill down into a point, but it's a balancing act as you don't want to overwhelm them with too much detail too soon, especially if the time frame is short. You've probably heard of the T approach to management. General information on the top horizontal line of the capital T, with more specific expertise where you go deeper down the vertical line. The same thinking applies to presentations. The high-level executive summary, the newspaper headlines, the clickbait, as it were, is what's across the top, with the ability to dive deeper into your expertise if required. Managers, or any of us for that matter, don't like nasty surprises. So if you have some information to share that may not be welcomed, a little PR may be required beforehand. Just like the way the government leaks price hikes to manage expectations a few days before the budget. But if I get back to what senior managers are seeking from you, they don't want you to waste their time by not being sufficiently prepared. They will respect a positive and a can-do attitude. And the leadership quality I've spoken about before is certainty. They want to know where you stand. We seek certainty from our leaders, but when delivering to a senior group, they're looking for certainty from you as well. And of course, it's worth remembering that exposure to a senior group is an opportunity for you to become known to them, hopefully for the right reasons. Visibility and ability are, of course, the two handrails of career advancement. The final tip for presenting to a senior group is all about preparation. Now, most of what I've spoken about so far all falls under the umbrella heading of preparation, but a few more specifics to add in when presenting to senior managers. The basics, of course, is doing your homework and collating the relevant information. A key part of preparation is also anticipating questions that they might ask you. A favourite preparation question of mine is, well, what question would I hate to be asked, or what issue would I hate to come up? It might never happen, but if it did, I've given some thought to what I might say in response. It's worth remembering, though, that not all questions that are directed your way during a presentation are really for you. This often happens in organisations, and I've noticed it particularly with the senior group. Other agendas are at play. A manager might want to look clever or powerful in front of colleagues or the MD and fires a question at you that is really for the benefit of someone else in the room or to puff out their own ego. This can mean that part of our preparation is practicing composure. But knowing that some of the behaviour we can witness from managers, including the questions they ask, you know, and realising it's not really about you, that it's their agenda, it's useful to know that, especially those of us who have a tendency to take things personally. Sometimes what goes on in a room has nothing to do with us. That's certainly something that I've learned over the years. Showing up with a conscious, positive intention is also part of preparation. So rather than an unconscious negative intention, such as, I hope I don't mess up, or please God, let me get through this in one piece, or I hope I don't go blank or get asked an awkward question, let me focus on my desired result, what it is I want to achieve. Let me put some detail into my definition of a successful presentation, something more than just getting through it. Consider the overall experience you want to create for the audience and the words you want them to use to describe their experience of listening to you or interacting with you. This gets you to lean into your own personal or leadership brand. Another part of preparation is another P word, and that's practice. Somewhat paradoxically, I always say that even spontaneity can be practiced. Earlier this month, one of my plays was being performed in the Wexford Arts Centre, and I had to deliver a short introduction to it from the stage. Now, I'm used to speaking to groups, but not in this context. I was clear as to what it is I wanted to say. I knew exactly how I wanted to open and close. And I practiced speaking my short introduction out loud and in full, maybe 20 times in the run-up to the performance. I practiced it, not to get robotic, but to get used to linking points together, to avoid repetition and out of respect to the audience who wanted something insightful from the person who wrote the play they were about to experience. Being familiar with what you will say gives you comfort. You're creating a blueprint. I always try to keep my presentations conversational and natural because people will always respond positively to genuineness and authenticity. So for important presentations, you need to rehearse them out loud and in full to ensure your delivery flows and that your timing is right. Consider asking a colleague to serve as a sounding board or to play the role of angel's advocate. You want feedback in advance to ensure your message is clear, that you're addressing all the relevant issues, and that you have responses for any questions that might arise. So there's my five tips for presenting to senior managers. And before I share a few more quick tips for dealing with those presentation nerves, a quick recap. Tip one was keeping your presentation short and to the point. Remember that analogy of the tip of the pyramid, the key points extracted from the solid foundation of your data and detailed work. Tip two was opening strongly to grab their attention. Tip three was the practical one about dealing with questions, a vital component of all impactful presentations, as well as some do's and don'ts when it comes to your visuals. Tip four was putting yourself in the audience's shoes. What are they seeking from you? How can you create a win-win? And then that last tip about the different components of preparation. That old adage of failing to prepare is preparing to fail still holds true. I'm closing out this week with a few quick tips on managing those presentation nerves, which is always the biggest issue for most people I work with in this area. And of course, those nerves tend to be heightened when delivering to a senior group because it's outside of comfort zone. We do it less often and the stakes are higher. There are many ways we can tackle those inconvenient presentation nerves, but for now, I'm going to share just three of my go-to tips. The first one is what I call empowered visualization. We visualize all the time, but we may have labeled it something else, like worrying. Our instinctive sense of self-protection prompts us to imagine everything that could go wrong. This type of contingency thinking can be useful. You know, we imagine the worst case scenarios and that helps us prepare for all eventualities. But dwelling on them, allowing our minds to race, doesn't serve us. Unchecked, we can paralyze ourselves with fear. Negative thinking snowballs and we get mountains out of molehills and so on. Visualization as a specific preparation technique is most frequently associated with elite athletes and performers. However, you can apply the same principles to assist you in your mental preparation for a presentation. Purposeful visualization is about rehearsing in your mind how you want to perform a task. With your eyes closed, you can imagine, as best you can, every aspect of your presentation. You won't know all the details in advance, but there's plenty you can work with. You will know the content of your presentation, or you should. You may know the location and some of the people in your audience. You can visualize yourself at the top of the room or logging on to Zoom. You can predict some of the questions you might be asked and maybe even visualize how you're going to respond to them. When you visualize your presentation in your mind, you're creating a roadmap for success. Positive, purposeful visualization allows you to harness all aspects of your preparation. It also enhances your feelings of control, and the more in control you feel, the less nervous you will be. Tip two is about slowing down your breathing. When we're anxious, nervous, stressed, we breathe high and fast in our chests. We're thinking nervous or stressful thoughts and our body is responding. When we do the opposite of what our body instinctively wants to do, that is breathe slower and lower, we're sending a different message to our brain. We recognize that we're breathing more calmly, so our minds will relax too. Breathing purposefully has the paradoxical benefits of both energizing us and calming us. Increasing our oxygen intake boosts our alertness, but we'll also feel calmer on the inside because we feel more in control of our body. I've shared before my go-to breathing strategy, which is a two-staged in-breath followed by a longer exhale. We have to do it purposefully, so therefore it becomes a strategy. The longer exhale fires the parasympathetic nervous system, the rest and digest function. Of course, that's something we can do anytime we want to feel calmer or more grounded, you know, or to manage our state more purposefully. And a third quick tip for managing those presentation nerves is to put on the uniform of confidence. Picture for a moment someone standing at the top of the room looking in control or confident. What would their body language be like? They're probably sitting or standing tall, shoulders back and spine straight. Their arms are relaxed and by their sides or in their lap. They will be looking outwards and making eye contact with other people. This is the body language that I refer to as the uniform of confidence. But here's the trick. If you know the body language of confidence, you know, sitting tall, standing tall, straight back, good eye contact, then why not put on that uniform of confidence more purposefully? The uniform communicates assurance and poise. The time to practice it, of course, is not at a presentation. Try putting it on during a meeting or even when you're sitting at your desk. Initially, it may feel like you're faking it until you make it, but as I say, fake it until you feel it. With practice, you will forge a new habit of body language. And of course, the audience will just see someone who's comfortable being in the room. So that's it for this week, folks. I hope you found my tips on delivering presentations to senior managers worthwhile. And maybe those three brief tips on managing presentation nerves is something that you could adopt or adapt as well. In my experience, not just as a presenter and motivational speaker, but as someone who teaches and coaches in the area of public speaking and delivering presentations, most people see preparation as pulling a few slides together. But having clarity of outcome and contemplating how you plan to engage with the audience is often the difference that makes the difference. Many presenters fear being asked difficult questions or having to deal with an angry audience member or conflicting agendas. But this rarely happens. In the vast majority of presentations, the audience wants to hear from you and learn from you. Presenting to an executive team can be intimidating, but it's also an opportunity for you to raise your profile and aid your career development. And of course, the higher you climb the career ladder, the more important effective communication and presentation skills become. In closing this week, I came across a quote by Dorothy Sarnoff, an American singer, actress, and author going back to the 1950s. And it's very apt for presentations, and it's an appropriate note to end on too. She said, "Make sure you've finished speaking before your audience has finished listening." So it's time for me to sign off this week. Until next time. Thank you for listening this week. If you enjoyed this episode and have a moment, please rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. And maybe you'd like to share it with a friend too. For more information about me, James Sweetman, my coaching services, workshops, books, and for more podcast episodes, be sure to visit jamessweetman.com.